Good morning and welcome to episode one of the Let's Get Down to Business podcast. I'm your host today, Charlotte Newman, and I wanted to let you know that our whole first series for you is all about starting up, whether that be a new business, a new idea, or even a new journey. So to kick us off today, I'm very excited to chat to you about who we A4G are, what we do, and also talk to the main person behind our vision. I'm therefore joined by Malcolm Palmer, the managing partner at A4G LLP, who's going to share with us his journey so far. Hi, Malcolm. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great, Charlotte. Yeah, this is a great way for us to communicate after all these years of working together.
Yes, definitely. So Malcolm, this being our very first episode, can you give our listeners a bit of background history of yourself and what the start of your journey was?
Oh, the start of my journey, right. Well, I always say to people, the start of my journey was probably reading an article in the Daily Mail when I was about 15. And I'd just always been interested in business and money, you know. I was a bit of a geeky maths kid at school, you know, did pretty well in all the maths exams and just thinking about what I wanted to do. And as anybody that sort of reads my Friday night emails that we've been doing will know, I was also and still am completely sports mad. And I read this article in the Daily Mail about Barry Hearn. You know, I think many of you probably know Barry Hearn because he runs darts and snooker, and his son now runs the boxing. They've got a big company called Matchroom. And this was sort of back when he was just becoming quite famous as the manager of all the top snooker players. And I read that he was a chartered accountant, and he sort of ended up owning a snooker club in Romford and met Steve Davis, and it sort of went from there. And I just remember thinking to myself, do you know what, if you can do that with that qualification, then you can sort of do anything business wise. So you know, this sounds really sad, but at the age of 15 I decided I was going to be a chartered accountant. And you know, I did the usual thing. I did my college course and I did my exams, and I always thought that I would leave the accountancy profession and and move into industry of some kind. But once I started dealing with clients and, you know, having direct contact with them rather than just, you know, adding up all the columns on their cash book and stuff, that was the bit I loved, you know, because you sort of become part of everybody's life, you know, and their problems become partially your problems and their successes become partially your successes. So I was working within a firm in the Medway Towns, and, you know, they gave me the opportunity after qualifying to sort of go out signing up clients, which I did, you know, sort of anyone and everyone really, and was just sort of, you know, building up this client base and thinking that, you know, I'd be the next partner there when my client base got big enough. And out of the blue one day, we got asked about buying this business in Longfield that had been there for 25 years, and the former owner had sadly passed away. And so they just said to me, well, you know, would you, if we buy it, would you go up there and run it? And I thought about it for about a microsecond and said yes. And 3 weeks later, there I was sitting at a desk in Longfield with a whole load of new clients.
Oh, amazing. So what would you say you've learned along the way?
What have I learned along the way? I mean, every day is a learning experience, isn't it? You know, you never stop learning. I always tell everybody that I always used to say there were 3 degrees of learning, and I've sort of extended that to 4 now. But, you know, there's some people in life that just don't learn from their mistakes. You know, we'll know them, you know, they're just sort of make the same mistakes over and over again. And, you know, you are not going to be successful in business if you don't learn from your own mistakes. So, you know, hopefully all of our clients and, you know, all of our staff are at the very least capable of getting to that second level of learning from their own mistakes. But the key is really learning from other people's mistakes, because if you can do that, you can get to wherever it is you want to go much, much quicker. I remember somebody saying to me, oh, it takes about 10 years to really know what you're doing in running a business. But, you know, that seemed a bit overly pessimistic to me. And they may well be right, but I think if you're prepared to talk to other people and get the right advisors, read lots of books, read lots of articles, you know, properly engage in, you know, the problems you got, and just think about long-term strategies, then you'll learn much quicker. And I think, you know, the biggest lesson is just pulling it all together, really. It's getting all those different aspects of the, you know, of your business all working together in harmony, rather than just jumping around from one problem to the next and, you know, finding that life is managing you rather than you managing life, you know?
Yes, definitely. Exactly. And would you say that new business owners maybe need to be cautious in this new world we're emerging into?
Yeah, I think, you know, I remember, I don't know, I was at some event or something and talking to somebody about, you know, about our business, and they said I was an entrepreneur, and I thought, no, there's no way I'm an entrepreneur. You know, I'm an accountant. You know, I went into accountancy. You know, first of all, it's a solid profession, you know, that gives you quite a bit of security. You know, we've got some clients that are proper entrepreneurs. They're way braver than me or most of the other clients that they've got. So, you know, caution, you know, I think everybody's got their own level of risk that they're comfortable with, and for some people that's risking everything, for other people, you know, that's sort of risking nothing, you know. You know, some people will run a business on the side of their job for years and years and years until almost the pressures on them between personal life and trying to run this little business and hold down a job just get too much, and they're almost forced into giving up the job to run the business. You know, and everybody else is somewhere in the middle, really. You know, you just got to find what's the right balance of risk for you. And if you don't like risk whatsoever, then you're probably not the right person to be starting up a business.
Definitely. Well, if you could give some advice then to our listeners today about them starting up something new, what would that be?
Well, I think you need to know that you're going to be at your break-even level at a point that's affordable, right? Now, let me sort of explain that. You know, if you've got a parent who has given you a load of money, and that money is going to take care of all your living requirements for the next 2 or 3 years, then you know, you can afford to be a little bit more risky in the decisions that you make. You can be a little bit more gung-ho in terms of the speed at which you get the business up. But, you know, if you're, you know, if you've got a big mortgage and three kids and, you know, car leasing payments or whatever, you know, because you've got to transport the three kids around, then you need to really sit back and think, right, what level of turnover do I need to get to, and what level of profit have I got to be at in order to just pay the bills, you know, because that's, you know, that's the most important thing. And you can be too cautious, you know, but we've got a little break-even tool that we use, and where it starts is your lifestyle. You know, what do you need to live on? And then from that gives you the profit after tax that you need to be making. And, you know, we're accountants and we can work out how much tax would arise in order to leave you with that amount, and that add that on, and that gives you the profit. And then look at what your overheads are going to be, and that gives you your gross profit, and then work out what your margins are going to be, and that gives you your break-even point. And, you know, you can break that right the way down into a weekly figure if you want. And I think it's important that all business owners have got one eye on that. You know, you're a bit foolish if you don't think about that, because if you run out of money a few months in, you know, and you can't pay the mortgage or these other things, you're in a bit of trouble. But equally, you might be being too cautious. You know, you might be at that point where, you know, you are ready to go and you can spend a bit of money, and you know, you can invest in the business to drive it forward. So understanding that break-even point and continually tweaking it, because the information that you do on day one is probably not correct. You know, there will be other overheads you didn't anticipate. Your margins might be slightly better or slightly worse than you thought. But, you know, getting a really good feel for that, I think, is probably the number one point.
Oh, amazing. Thank you very much for that, Malcolm. So I wanted to just touch a little bit more again on A4G then, and what changes would you say you have made to your overall company mission over the years?
Yeah, I think, funnily enough, I think that it's hard to sort of go back 26 years and just remember what it was that you remembered and didn't know back then, isn't it? But I think one of the things that I learned is that growing a business is never even. You can't just keep doing more and more of the same thing. So, you know, if I sort of give you an example, really, when I took over the business that was in Longfield, you know, it had some long established members of staff, you know, one or two very good ones, one or two not quite so good ones. And, you know, we had a bit of a year of firefighting, really. So that particular year, in a way, that got me to the start line. And but along the way, I took on a trainee, and just to sort of balance things up in terms of the people that were coming through. And I had this vision of, you know, what we should be. Any of my clients listening will probably recall me saying this from the first meeting with them, when I, you know, always say that we do two types of work. We do compliance work and we do value added. And the compliance work is the stuff you have to have done, and the value added is the stuff you get a benefit from. And whilst about 2/3 of our work is the compliance work, about 90% of our clients come to us for the value added stuff. And, you know, and that was probably a little bit different to the way a lot of accountants thought back then. You know, that the accountants as advisors movement, should we say, was just sort of getting up and running, really, in the mid-90s. And off we went, you know. And then 2 or 3 years in, I just felt like too many little things were going wrong, you know, and it just suddenly felt like we'd hit a bit of a plateau. And, you know, I could talk about that plateau, that particular plateau, for about another 20 minutes, and that's not the purpose of the of this podcast, really. But the point is that what got me there to that particular point wasn't going to get me to the next point. And at that point, you have to reinvent yourself. And as businesses start up and grow, there are lots of little plateaus along the way, you know, and you can kind of accept that you're on that plateau and that's the way it is. You know, this is the way I'm going to be working for the rest of my career until I retire or sell the business or whatever. Or you can find a way to get yourself off that plateau and start going up the next bit. And it's, you know, each of those plateaus is a whole new set of lessons that you need to learn. It's, you know, sometimes you can sort of reread some of the books you read years earlier and realize that what you learned from them back then was entirely based around the situation you were in at that moment in time. And
yes, definitely. I completely agree. And I'm sure some of our listeners actually might be able to relate to this, because, like I said, the podcast is about starting up. So that might be brand new business owner out there, but that might be someone who maybe even over the last year has fallen down and wants to get back up again. So have there been any times that you've fallen down and maybe thought you maybe wanted to quit, but actually what got you back up? What kept you moving forward and starting fresh?
Yeah. They're probably... The you get one or two setbacks with clients and stuff. But, you know, the biggest setbacks as the business grows are with the team that you've got, you know. And, yes. And certainly we had, you know, if I went back to sort of the mid-noughties, you know, I remember, somebody said we were really good at marketing. And I sort of thought to myself, well, actually, we're not really good at marketing. We're just better than most other accountants, you know. And we were bringing in new clients. And I had probably three people at the time who I just over-promoted them. You know, they weren't up to the level that they needed to be at. There were some, how can I put this politely, serious personality defects in at least one, maybe two of those. And I felt that all the effort I was putting in, I was just being dragged back by them. And funnily enough, I went on it was just an afternoon's course, and it was like a sort of a motivational speaker guy, and I remember some of the lines from that particular event right now. You know, they were made such a big impact on the way that I did things. But I think it wasn't just about the motivational speaker. It was about where I was at that particular moment in time, you know. And these other members of staff were really sort of dragging me down, you know. And I just came in with a completely renewed outlook the following day. And, you know, you'll all have times like that as you're growing your business. And if you've got yourself into, a little bit of a rut, you just need something to get you out of it, whether it's listening to, you know, this podcast or the mindsetting program with Steve Backley and Roger Black that we've been featuring over the last 6 months, or a particular book or a TED talk, or, you know, you just got to go looking for something that will get you out of that that rut you're in. Because one of the lines I do remember from that particular day is that the only difference between a rut and a grave is the depth. Hang on to that line.
Definitely, 100%. Actually, you touched on having the right team around you. And I do think when businesses are starting up, that is extremely important. Some people, it's a team of one. Other times, they do need a team around them to support them. So how would you describe your company's workplace culture, especially now for growing?
Yeah, well, you know, our... I don't know if you're fishing for compliments here, Charlotte, but I'm going to talk about our particular recruitment strategy and some of the great successes that we've had. And you are one of those. You know, we sort of started this recruit out of school or college almost by accident, really, and it worked. So we did it again and we did it again and we did it again. And I think, then it went from one person to two people, and then it went up to three. And I think you were the first year, 2008, is that right, Charlotte?
Oh, many years ago, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, I remember better than you, clearly.
Yeah, you do.
but, you know, I think you were that year, the first year we took three people on. And I suppose in some ways I've sort of my cautious accountant approach has made me realize that when you take somebody on who you think is the finished article, and you know you're bringing them in to your organization, you know, perhaps on a big salary, you know, you paid a big recruitment fee, you know, you're actually taking a massive gamble, because they might not be the best thing since sliced bread, you know. Or actually, you know, they might be great, but they're just a really bad fit for your organization. And I remember reading some stats about something like 50% of every appointment over £40,000 a year fails. I'm not sure what the definition of failure is, but I'm sure probably all the business owners listening to this will know what their definition of failure is. We've always taken people on as trainees. We've got a much bigger pool of talent to pick from in the first place, because, you know, I think one year we had 500 applicants for four of our trainee positions. So, you know, Obviously, there's going to be lots of people in there that are completely unsuitable for working in a firm of chartered accountants. But, you know, we can, you know, follow that funnel down until we get the best candidates. And we've got a training program that, you know, we run with them when they join us. And one or two of them won't work out. You know, not everybody that comes in as a trainee with A4G is going to be successful. But it's, you know, the cost to us of that going wrong is nowhere near as big, of course. And they're unlikely, you know, you ought to know whether it's going to work or not within the first 6 months. And there's not a lot of damage that, that you know, a trainee that's not working out can do in those 6 months. So that's become our main recruitment method. And of course, you know, it doesn't always work. You know, we don't always get everybody coming through, filling every vacancy. So, you know, we do have to recruit from time to time for people outside the organisation. But fortunately, by then, when they come in, you know, they are surrounded by colleagues who completely get it. They completely understand how we work, you know, what our values are, what our approach to things are. And, you know, hopefully that means that those people that we recruit from outside have a higher chance of fitting in really well.
Yeah, definitely. Fantastic. All right, Malcolm. Well, we've spoken over the last 20 minutes or so about some key things that our listeners, anyone starting a new venture or a new business might want to consider. We've talked about having a idea of your real break-even point and what that actually means. And we've talked about having maybe the right staff on board and also your mindset, which is really important. All of these things we're going to talk about in our future episodes in more detail anyway. But if we could just ask you one last question, what would be your final tidbit of advice for our listeners today that might just help them start something new?
Right. Well, the probability is they've got some ideas already, you know. So, you know, if you haven't got any ideas about what you're going to do, then, you know, you need to be looking for those ideas. But, you know, everybody's got a little gap in the market that they've spotted or a little opportunity. You know, sometimes a lot of people, you know, are in the industries that they're in by complete accident. You know, they got an opportunity to work for somebody and, you know, and they picked up and ran with it. But if you are going to start up, I mentioned about, you know, the importance of learning. And I was thinking, I mean, I'm a sort of a, you know, an average golfer. You know, I can, I've my good days, I have my bad days, right? And, but, you know, quite often talk to people that want to start playing golf. And I always give them one bit of advice, which none of them listen to, which is not surprising because I didn't listen to it and somebody said it to me. But, and I'm not just saying this because your dad is a golf professional, a fantastic teacher, but one of the things I always say to everybody is, if you're going to start playing golf, go and get some lessons first. Right. So that when you actually start hitting the ball on the driving range or actually even worse, getting yourself out on a golf course, you know what you're doing. And nobody ever does. Nobody ever goes and gets lessons first. And of course, what they do then is that they, you know, they go out, they start whacking a bucket of balls at the driving range or, like I said, you know, going down the pitch and putt course or whatever, and they are getting into bad habits immediately. And they'll do this for sort of a year or two before they realise that they're not getting any better. And then they go and have some lessons with someone like your dad, who has to spend the first three lessons undoing all of the things that they've got wrong in those first 2 years. So it actually costs them about two or three lessons more than if they'd gone there from the start. So there is so much stuff out there. You know, I mean, you can look on our website and you can find loads of advice about getting started. But, you know, just type stuff into YouTube, go onto Amazon and just have a look at some of the books that are on there. If you're thinking of starting up, don't just start without having either taken advice from somebody that knows what they're doing, or done a lot of homework yourself. So that would be my number one piece of advice.
That is brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us today, Malcolm. Thank you very much. Well, next week we'll be discussing getting things right from the start. That's from doing your market research to getting a business plan drawn up. So if you have any questions on this topic, please email them over to inquiries@a4g-llp.co.uk. And in the meantime, head to our social media pages at A4G Chartered Accountants, where we'll be providing a lot more guidance on this area and many others. Alternatively, check out our website, www.a4g-llp.co.uk, which is full of free tools, guidance and plenty of food for thought to help your business start up the right way. So our Business Breakthrough Startup Program is designed to help you be confident in your business's future and beyond. I've been your host today, Charlotte, and this is Let's Get Down to Business.